Funding for the Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's healthcare needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
Thanks for listening to The Spark. I'm Asia Tab. Extreme temperatures and booming sounds can have big impacts on our pets. Joining us is Amanda Brunish, the Director of Marketing and Outreach for the Humane Society of Harrisburg. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. Luckily, it's not too warm today, so the dogs are probably pretty content being outside.
Yeah, so moving forward, I'm sure the temperatures are going to go way up in the 90s and 100s, because that's what happens in the summer. Mm-hmm. How impactful is the extreme heat to fur babies?
It's very impactful, and it's something that we as pet owners definitely, you know, need to consider when we're taking our pets outside. Usually we're talking about dogs. Very quickly our dogs can overheat and suffer from heat stroke.
And does it have an impact on cats as well? Because, you know, I don't have a cat, but I know there's some owners where the cats will be outside for a few hours and they come back.
Absolutely. Yes, it does affect cats as well. Even cats that are inside, too, if you're not providing them proper situations for keeping cool. Persian cats, for example, that have flat faces, it's a lot harder for them to pant if they are warm, and they can overheat more easily. So it certainly affects cats as well.
Does grooming play a role into how they are in the summer heat?
It can. So something to think about is, you do have, you know, for example, dogs that have longer coats, and it might seem instinctual to want to shave their coats. And that actually, you shouldn't do that, because.
Really?
Yeah. So their coat actually protects them from overheating and from sunburn. So while you can do a normal grooming, it is not recommended to completely shave your animal for that reason.
Wow, that's so interesting. Is there any other tips that you have? Like, what if your pet doesn't like to drink a lot of water? Is there any tips that you can do to get them to drink more water?
Yeah, it's kind of something where you just have to, like, make sure and keep an eye on them and make sure that they're, you know, try different temperatures of water. If they're in a situation where you think they might be overheating, you definitely want to give them cooler water. And you certainly can add some different minerals to the water as well. There are things you can look up online to do that as well. But when we're dealing with animals that, you know, could be potentially showing signs of heat stroke, it's really important to make sure that we're giving them small amounts of cool water to allow them to get their temperature back to normal.
Is there any other tips, like, when you go to take them out for a walk, how do you check if the pavement is too hot? And if it is, what do you do?
You should literally touch it with your hand, and know that an animal's paw pads are more sensitive than your hand. If it's hot for you, it's way too hot for them. They actually, the dog's paws, and I mean cat paws as well, they'll burn very easily. So if you've ever seen a dog kind of outside and they're kind of like prancing when it's warm out, that's because the asphalt's too hot for them. So it's really important to keep them off of asphalt when it is too hot. Another thing to think about is definitely do not ever leave your dog in a car. And I think a lot of people know that, but when it's warm out, you definitely never want to leave your dog in the car. Very quickly, the temperature can rise. For example, if it's 75 degrees outside, within 10 minutes, the car will be 94 degrees if you have the windows up. So that's a really important tip as well for people.
You know, I actually just went through that last weekend. I was driving home to Virginia, that's where I'm from, and I had my Shih Tzu with me, And then I pulled over to a Sheetz because I had to use the restroom, but I had a stroller in my car. So I took her in the stall with me. And everyone was looking at me like I was crazy, but I was just like, I can't leave her in the car. It's just us. So thank you so much for that tip. We are going into the 4th of July. There's going to be lots of fireworks and loud noises. And then even with the summer, there's more thunderstorms. So with loud noises, how can that impact pets as well?
Yeah, that can cause a lot of anxiety for animals, both dogs and cats. And, you know, there's a couple of things you can do depending on how severe the anxiety is for your pet. Specifically for 4th of July and around that time of year when you know it's going to happen, you know, you can do a couple of things. One thing is make sure you kind of have a safe haven area for your dog or your cat that you know makes them feel secure. Some dogs really like to have a kennel that has like a blanket that they love and some toys, somewhere where they feel safe and secure. And cats like, you know, like boxes and things like that. When the fireworks are going off, playing white noise, and that could even be your TV, playing your TV a little louder than normal, that can help it as well. If it's very severe, you can get medication that will relax your pet during that time of year. Also, just comforting your pet during that time as well. It's also really important to be super safe and have your pets microchipped, because if God forbid they were to get out because of the fireworks scaring them, you want to be able to get them back safely.
You just said medication. Is that something, do we go to a PetSmart for it, or do we bring it to a vet or the Humane Society of Harrisburg to see what type of medication they should receive?
So you would go to your veterinarian to get a prescription. The Humane Society actually does have a veterinary clinic called the Veterinary Resource Center. So you could schedule an appointment with us and we could help you find a medication that could help your pet. And it doesn't need to be a forever medication. There are medications that veterinarians will prescribe you for situations like this, where your pet is stressed. For example, I have a dog who gets very stressed at the vet. So they'll give me a prescription for that situation where it's like, okay, you know, you're going to the vet, so take this an hour or two before you come so that your dog can be relaxed. And you can do the same thing for fireworks and things like those situations.
And you spoke about microchips. How do we go about that as well?
So microchips can be done at a local veterinarian. You can also do that, again, with the Humane Society if you come to our Veterinary Resource Center. Again, that's one of those things that's just so important, because you never think your pet's going to run away or have a situation where it gets away from you, but it does happen. A microchip is going to have a special number. It's kind of like a social security number. It's unique to your pet. It's going to be online. It's going to be attached to you, attached to your pet. So no matter where they go, if they somehow end up on a truck and end up in Florida, which you hear stories all the time, it's going to come back to you. They're going to know where to find you. And that's just so important.
Is it a slow process?
No, not at all. It's a very quick process. It's like a tiny little grain of rice. And they just put it in there a lot of times. And that's one of the great things about adopting from a shelter. I think every single shelter, that's just part of the process. When your pet is spayed or neutered, they put the microchip in as well. So, you know, for us personally, you cannot adopt a pet from us without getting your pet. It comes with it. So you get spayed, neutered, microchip vaccinations, everything comes all at once. So it's just part of the process.
Wow, I never knew that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's just, you know, a really important thing. And I think at this point, most shelters require that.
Earlier, you spoke about pets becoming anxious. Could you tell us the signs that a pet may be anxious?
So it depends whether it's a cat or dog. Dogs typically are the ones that get specifically anxious around fireworks and things like that. You're going to see their ears might get low. You might see their tail between their legs, whining, things like that. Those are often signs of anxiety. Cats, are similar too. Cats are often the ones that are going to go run and hide under the bed or something like that. So they're a little bit different in that way. But the cats, or with the dogs, you often see, you might see panting, you might see drooling as well. It kind of depends on the dog, but those are the general signs.
Is there anything I missed on keeping our pets safe when it comes to the heat and loud noises?
I would just say, there are some signs that you should look for specifically when we're talking about heat stroke. you know, I think one thing to think about is the fact that we think about extreme temperatures, but with some animals as low as 70 degrees, they could show signs of heat stroke. Now, that's going to be animals that are, and specifically dogs, that maybe are predisposed because they have medical conditions, like they have a heart condition or they're obese or they're just really exercising too much. Generally speaking, it is going to be the higher temperatures. But if you see an animal that's drooling or panting, showing those signs of anxiety or restlessness or vomiting, seemed lethargic or weak, or they even collapse, those are signs of heat stroke. And then you want to get into that situation where you're putting them in the cool, bringing them inside, giving them cool water, and then you want to call your veterinarian always. If you're ever unsure of anything, call your veterinarian.
What if they're closed?
You can go to an emergency clinic. There are several emergency clinics around the area that are open 24/7, and definitely get over to one of those.
Thank you so much for your wonderful insight, Amanda. And thank you for listening to The Spark. I am your host, Asia Tab. Remember, you can catch a recap of this interview over on our website at WITF.org. Just go over to Programs and click The Spark. You can also like us on Facebook to stay connected with us at The Spark. We really would love to do that with you. Thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.